All right, I need your help with something. Help me understand something. Jay and Whitey today. Kyle Draper hopefully back tomorrow. We've been talking a lot about Draymond and the Kings, and we'll get back to that. Draymond, by the way, right now, just one of the reasons why I think you'd much rather be right now the Kings and the Warriors. But before we get back to that, you know, Kadarius Toney was offsides at the end of that Chiefs game, and was it today or yesterday? Patrick Mahomes talked about it, and the quote was, "I told him, you just be you." I was like, how, what? How about just be onside?
Man.
Right? I mean, you be you. How does, I don't see how that even applies to what we're talking about.
Dude, Pat Mahomes is backpedaling so hard. And it comes from the fact that he cried. He turned into a pure crybaby.
He apologized to Josh Allen, as you know, and Josh Allen said, "Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I didn't need to have it. Shut up."
Yeah.
Basically, that's what Josh was saying without saying it. Like, man, I ain't got nothing about it. Y'all lost. Well, you come over here and tell me that. Anyway, you took the L.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's going into all kind of different emotions and different variations of how he can get around this. Fact of the matter is, and national cats should come out and be saying this a little more, and they're not, because, you know, he's the face. He's the golden boy of the NFL. Dude was wrong. He cried. Y'all took the L. He was offsides. Go back. Be real about it. You got smacked up.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You be you. I don't.
What does that mean?
That's usually pretty good advice.
Don't catch the ball.
It doesn't apply.
Because that's what they're not doing.
That's it. Right. I mean, it was not even close. Anyway, we'll get back to the 49ers here in about 10 minutes here. Tell you what CMC is doing. That's a very rare feat that he's on the verge of accomplishing. But would you agree with me, Jay, right now? I know the Kings last night did not look good. Again, a blowout loss. What, 7 of their 9 losses have been very one-sided. And it was a tough night for the Warriors as they kicked another one that they could have won. And Draymond now awaits further punishment from the league. But I think right now, I think you'd rather be the Kings than the Warriors. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the future looks a little more brighter when it comes down to this side of the I-80.
Be nice to have the trophies, but I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, come on now. I mean, if you was to say the Kings will win 4 championships within the next, 12 years. Come on, sign me up. I don't care where the 4 are.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But when it's all said and done right now, yeah. I mean, for the foreseeable future, unless the Warriors make a few different moves, yeah, I'd rather be the Kings. I think I told you this off air. The Warriors, to me, had a few opportunities, and loyalty caused them to miss out, I think, on some opportunities. And I just bring up Iguodala. I think Iguodala, for when he was playing, matched what the Warriors did fantastically. But they were so loyal to Iguodala. Like, the last 4 years, I mean, they even traded him and brought him back. He stole money. That 2 year for 17 per, like, you could have got somebody way better that was more valuable. And it kind of pushed him, had to go get, like, the Kelly Oubre and, like, that, that year or so. And it's tough because you don't want to fault a squad for being loyal because you don't see it too much. But loyalty has definitely put them in a hole a little bit.
Yeah, my theory on that, it's funny you mentioned that about Iguodala, because a lot of people wondered, really? I mean, it appeared they were like begging him to come back the last couple of years. And I thought last year, things with Jordan Poole, and this was, they brought Iguodala back before the punch. But it was some interesting things going on there, because you had the young guys, they were trying to assert themselves, and you had the old guard, and they were resentful of the young guys. And I think maybe they thought, Andre's going to help us smooth all that over. I don't know that he did. That's the only thing I can think of other than that, because, like you say, he didn't play.
You know what that's called, Whitey? A coach.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they thought he could help some of the youngsters, and I'm sure he did. But you got to your point. I mean, they've been dealing, as far as the loyalty now, that's been an issue with Clay. By the way, it came out this afternoon that the Warriors offered Clay a 2-year deal before the season started, and he turned it down. And right now, there's no deal to be had. But they sat him down last night. He didn't finish. And, Steve Kerr has talked about how, I've tried to be real patient with the veterans. So they're trying to figure all this out, as inevitably, Father Time right now is sitting there going, all right, you guys ready? Because just about my time here. You're just about done. And it's a tough thing to see unravel, and it's hard to know how to deal with that for the coach and the players. And again, Bob Myers, smartest man in America.
Listen, I'm not crying for a bunch of cats that made a lot of money, won 4 championships. And that's why I say right now, and looking into the future, because as much as we love history and want to know where we came from to know where we're going, I'd rather have the Kings not know, you know, future than the Warriors right now, mm-hmm. until something changes.
Yeah.
I do think Dunleavy is going to be a little aggressive at the trade deadline, and I think not only out of necessity, but also because he wants to put his stamp on his team.
Sure.
And I think that's going to come, albeit it might be without a Draymond. Like, you might have to push Draymond out the door, you know. But I think for the Kings, when it's all said and done, as much as, you know, we've heard the arguments from everybody about HB over the last week, and someone who I continue to, you know, like, look, I need to see a little more from Kevin Herter. He kind of getting a pass now. But
that's fair. I mean,
that's
Gray
me, though.
Gray says he has his bad finger.
Sit down. Guess what? Sit down. Because guess what you're not doing? You're not giving
shots.
Me nothing outside of making shots. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing. So go ahead and have a seat. We're not going to question your toughness because we know you want to play. But if you ain't being productive, hey, brother, it's all good. We respect that you're not getting things done, and we'll wait till you can for us, right? Mm-hmm. And so if it's one of those things, if you're not good enough healthy to help the team, you might be detrimental to the team of being hurt.
Right.
And that's what we need to start to question about Kevin Herter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a fact. And if someone feels a certain way about that, that's all understandable. But if you're hurt and you can't get things done, then
you're not helping us. So what's the point of being tough?
Come on. Yeah. But with all that being said, I'd still like to be the Kings. I'd still like to have De'Aaron. I'd still like to have Domas.
Here's they're going more this way, and the Warriors are inevitably starting to.
They're landing.
Yeah. It looks like it. I don't know if you read The Athletic.
Pull it out the wheels. Yeah. They're landing there.
Yeah. Tim, it wheels down. Tim Kawakami in The Athletic today, and I know Chris mentioned this. You know, he's a very keen observer of all things in the Bay Area sports wise. And he wrote today, he said, I don't know if this is the end for the Warriors, but he said the end is going to look a lot like this. So it's like he didn't quite want to go there.
Revelations.
He said, when this thing ends, it's going to look a lot like this. So they're definitely at a crossroads, and it was inevitable.
Of course.
Yeah.
We see Belichick
talent,
today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, nothing lasts forever, right? There ain't no Keith Sweat songs coming through here, Roddy.
Right.
Right? But
right.
I say that to say, I think they could have extended it. Now, most people point to James Wiseman miss. You know, you missed on Wiseman. Okay, I get that. I was a proponent. You take LaMelo Ball. I mean, I thought it was a shoe-in. You should have took him. And I would allow Steph Curry to be off the ball a little more. But whatever. I digress on that. But I do
You would have
think,
been right, by the way.
Yeah, I would have. I do think there were a few opportunities for the Warriors to inject some youngsters, people that were in the middle of their career and moving, you know, 27, 28, 29, and maybe could reach 32 with this team. Sean Livingston, right? Like, to use an example. And they chose to be loyal. And I get it. All respect to a loyal organization, because you don't see it in the pros. But with that loyalty comes what we're seeing now. And again, I'm not crying about what happened with the Warriors, because they got four ships,
right?
And they made a lot of money, a new stadium. It's jumping and moving, and you know, kudos to them. If the Kings could do that, then I'm all for it. But if I'm looking to begin something, if we're playing NBA 2K, I'm taking the Kings' future over the Warriors right now.
Yeah, I think you know, the Warriors tried to be like the Spurs, and they won. They had the great run. No matter what happens from here, obviously, they had a great run. And the Durant teams, those might be the best teams we've ever seen. I mean, we can quibble.
Oh, yeah.
Those of us who are older, maybe some of those Boston teams, maybe, but maybe not. I mean, they were all-time great teams. But then you get to a point where, okay, Durant leaves, and then Klay got hurt, and the floor caved in, and they had that 15-win season. It's like, all right, from here, we start over. What they needed to be like the Spurs, and what all great teams need, that's really hard, by the way. It's really hard. They needed player development. They needed to find the next guys. You mentioned Wiseman. They needed to find those guys that are going to be the foundations of the future. And they failed miserably at it. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But as you said, Wiseman, you know, some of it was, hey, it's a pandemic. He didn't play much, but he's a center. And they drafted Kuminga, and they expected big things from him. And still now it's like, is he going to be any good? So that's really where they are now. The guys that they had picked a couple years ago that were supposed to by now be carrying their fair share of the load, some of them aren't even there anymore.
Right. But, you know, we talked about Mike Brown not trusting some of his bench players. I truly agree. I mean, I truly think Steve Kerr doesn't trust Kuminga and Moody enough.
Right.
I see talent. I think I see more talent and capability out of those two, just to name those two, more than I think the Warriors realize. And again, look, I'm on the outside looking in. I don't work with the Warriors. I don't see these guys practice. I don't travel with them. I'm not waking up. I'm not going to sleep with them.
But you're on the radio.
So, look, I'm going to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Right? And so my thing with that is I think they're better than what they're giving, you know, credit. Like, if you give me Kuminga on the Kings right now. What? You telling me you wouldn't take Kuminga over HB? Please. That's me.
I don't know if Mike Brown would, because Mike Brown knows them both very well.
Well, we got to get Mike Brown on to answer that. And I mean, I know he would be, you know, he's not going to say that.
But some of that is, Jay, excuse me, but to me, some of that is, and we all do it, it's like, the guy who's not here is always better. The backup quarterback is always, you know, it's like, hey, that guy's going to be better. I don't know.
Look,
I don't know if Kuminga would be the
answer. I'm not saying he is the answer. But I'm also saying I see some capabilities from Kuminga that I necessarily don't see on this team right now. And if
athleticism.
Shot-making as well. I think he has better shot-making capabilities than any four down there that's at the G1C. My opinion. Mm-hmm. I would take a chance and an opportunity to see if he could bud into a flower compared to where they have him at right now, where the fours down there that's rocking a Sacramento Kings jersey, I think their flower's already budded. Mm-hmm. I think we know we're starting to kind of like with the Warriors. They're not landing, but I think they're coasting. You know, they're just floating right now. And so my thing with that is I would rather take an opportunity and chance to go for something because, again, if we're being realistic, if you came into this season thinking the Kings were a championship contender, you should be ashamed of yourself because they don't have everything that it takes to win a championship. You can see that. So what are we building? What we're talking about is building things. And with building those things, you either, as you said, create, you know, an opportunity for a young player to be better, or you build on the skills that you have down there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know,
right.
I'm open to the Kuminga situation.
Is patience standing pat? Is that the way for the Kings to go right now? Is that the way for them to get where they want to get to as quickly as possible? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Right back with that. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Kings are back in action tomorrow night. Hopefully Kyle Draper will be back with us tomorrow. Don't know yet. He's been a little under the weather. I want to point out that I really appreciate, and I know Jay does too, all the kind comments on the chat. People really enjoy hearing Jay, and I just want to, for what it's worth, a little peek behind the curtain. Like yesterday morning, as far as I know, Jay had no idea he's going to be on the air on top of everything else that he does. And you've heard, I mean, he's obviously doing a great job stepping right in, but it's kind of like that guy that, hey, you're playing tonight. What? Yeah. And, hey, you're getting called up. You know, you're going to fly or whatever, and you're in the game tonight. And so Jay... not just me, but you know, some of the smartest viewers and listeners in radio appreciate it. It's been great being on the air with you. Hopefully Kyle's back tomorrow, but really appreciate everything that that you're doing for us.
It's all good, brother.
Double duty.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
No worries. And my boy Drape's got the bird flu. I know what happened. He just don't want to admit it.
Uh-huh.
But we'll be able to talk to him about that bird flu. And it's not the bird flu that we all know is the bird flu.
Uh-huh.
But he's got the bird flu for the Eagles birds.
Right.
You know, he don't want to come in. I get it. The chest is hurting a little bit. Heart palpitating a little faster than normal. You know, got a slight headache on the left side.
Uh-huh.
You know, he got the bird flu there, Whitey.
As far as what he's been hearing from Niner fans, did he maybe just bite off a little more than he could chew?
Oh, that's a good question.
Before that game, in Philly?
I think he did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
As a fan, I think he represented his squad to the best of his ability. I think he knew the reality of what was going to jump off, you know, just like a bunch of the Eagles did. And I think they were on a Draymond. You know, as much as Drapes was on the station talking about Debo and the 49ers crying about last year and all that, well, what were they supposed to do? They cried about it last year. Then they came in and, you know, they tap danced on all across Lincoln Financial that Sunday. And so, look, it's okay, Drapes. I know the flu's kicked in. The bird flu has kicked in for you.
Right.
You come on home, brother. It's all good.
By the way, and I know you don't want to talk about yourself, but for those who don't know, what are some of the markets you've worked in? You've worked in some big time. You've been in radio a long time.
Yeah, I
have. Atlanta?
Right? No, Houston.
Houston.
Yeah, so I've never been in anything. This is the smallest market I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm born and raised in SAC.
Uh-huh.
South Sacramento. This is where I come from. This is what I love. But I've, you know, always national networks, Fox, ESPN, CBS. I work with Jim Rome. You know, so many different people that way. Stephen A. Smith, that type of situation at Fox. Sporting News, which is now Yahoo.
Okay.
At the time, you know, Tim Brando's of the world and, you know, those Troy Aikman. Speaking of Troy Aikman, I produced his show when he was doing a once a week show on Thursdays, two live stews, stuff like that. So been in Los Angeles, been in Houston, been in the Bay Area, been here.
Sorry, I thought you were in Atlanta.
No, ATL. No ATL. You know, I love to visit the ATL, though.
Yeah.
Well, Lemon Pepper Who style.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. No Kyle Draper. That's all right. We got Jay, so.
Bird flu, baby.
We appreciate it
the
very much.
The bird flu.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Drapes, by the way, about the bird flu?
I haven't.
Or you just let him be ill of what he's telling us?
I heard that he was yesterday that he was, you know, like legitimately in bed sick, so I didn't want to bother him.
All right.
I don't know if that's true. You know, it could be that he got into bed to call, you know, J-Ross and
jumped out.
Yeah. And then after he got the call, I was like, all right, let's go play golf.
We're going to find out. I know he wasn't on the Kings, the Kings call last night on either way, pre or post or on the mic for play-by-play. But hopefully he does get better, definitely, because, you know, we don't want anyone sick. Tis the season.
Mm-hmm.
Tis the season for people to be sick right now.
So fingers crossed that he's back
with
us
healthy.
Tomorrow.
Stay safe, everybody.
Yeah. Kings against the OKC Thunder coming up, starting a six-game homestand. The question is with the Kings, you know, they've lost now along with including last night, I should say. Was that 7 of their 9 losses have been one-sided. They're 0-2 in second game of a back-to-back. In second game of back-to-back, they're averaging 103 points, and they're giving up 126. So 13-9 record, as you know, is like, well, that looks pretty good. But there have been too many games in which they just haven't shown up. So does that mean anything? Does that mean that that's a clue to where they need to go in terms of shoring this thing up going forward? In general, as exciting as it is to talk about maybe make a trade, this guy, that guy. I still think, big picture, I still think the best thing to do this year is to stay the course and not do anything dramatic that's going to cost you any future assets.
Agreed. I mean, I think if you can get better in the fact of spending some of maybe, you know, not your major assets to get not someone's major asset, but something that you may be able to build into an asset here, if that makes sense.
People like your Kuminga idea, by the way, on the chat.
Really?
Well, because he's so athletic. I remember when he was a rookie with the Warriors and I was covering the Warriors, I would love to just, you could watch him go from like on defense, going from the foul line to the midcourt line. He just moves differently.
Yeah. I just don't think he's got an opportunity with the Dubs. And I get it. Look, it's hard to crack the lineup when you got Hall of Famers walking around every single day. And that's why I said you touched on something earlier. I'm not sure Steve Kerr trusts what Kuminga's going to bring to the table on a day in and day out, you know, game-wise, game log. And so I trust it a little more probably than he does. Who am I to say that? I'm not the coach. I'm not a general manager. I'm not that person, you know, with the Warriors. But I like what he brings to the table. I think he would help the Kings, man. I really do.
Part of the problem, I think, for a guy like Kuminga is it's that question of how hard it is to develop when you're on a good team already.
Truth.
Because when you're on a team that's not very good, yeah, we'll let him play through his mistakes. When that team, literally, you know, a couple years ago, they're playing for a championship. It's got guys killing. We're trying to win. We can't have him out there.
Mm.
He's got to learn how to do that, but not when we're trying to win a championship. So,
but that's kind of how you learn, though, right?
I know. I know. But it's like, which is more important, winning a championship or having him learn? The other thing with Kuminga specifically.
Can't do both?
It's hard. It's tricky. And, they, you know, that's all two-timeline thing that the Warriors were trying to pull off, and they couldn't do it. supposedly, Kuminga learned how to play basketball from watching Kobe. Like watching video of Kobe. And then so sometimes that's how he plays, which worked for Kobe. But in that Warrior system, a young guy coming in playing like that, it's like, that's not how we play. So that's been another thing that's been an adjustment for him.
Then when you get, I mean, my thing is then trust in your coaching staff, your development staff. Look, what's wrong with being like Kobe? As much as I, you know, look, I don't want to pump no Laker here. But what's wrong with being like Kobe? You know, if the gentleman copies the game of Kobe, And I mean, that's far fetched.
Well, yeah,
to say that, yeah. But I get what he's trying to do. He wants to be great. He sees right. something, so he's trying to do that. Then help him out.
Yeah, the problem is, and it applies to the Kings too, which is why I'm bringing it up. The offense basically this is oversimplification, but it's player movement is what Saint always says. Gary St. Jean, player movement, ball movement. Kobe wasn't always about that. That's fine.
No,
Kobe
no,
was like,
yeah.
You give me the ball. The ball ain't – once I get it, it ain't moving.
True.
And he was successful with that. But for a young guy to come in and kind of play like that and then learn that that's not how we play, it's not an easy adjustment for a guy who's – that's like part of his basketball DNA.
Yeah.
It's a tough adjustment.
I agree with that, especially coming from where he came from of being the guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in college. So I understand that. I think he has something – I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I do think he has some building, you know, some building potential. As you said, with the Warriors, they're in a win mode now, and they've been in a win mode since the fact they won the first championship. And so infusing young talent sometimes doesn't work when the young talent's not on that same timeline, which is what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have talked about with the Warriors having two different timelines, but I think they could infuse him a little more than what they've done. Same yeah. thing with Moody. I thought they could infuse a little more. Quite frankly, we really don't know what James Wiseman still is at this point. Still young enough to have an opportunity. I go back to Jermaine O'Neal. For like the first 6 years, nobody knew what Jermaine O'Neal was. And then all of a sudden, for whatever we, you know, the Pacers had to plug and play. You know, so it's like, okay, and he balled out. He did his thing. And so mm-hmm. I think there's always hope when you're still in the front half of 25. Kuminga still is. Give him a shot. With the Kings, I think you almost would have to because of what you would give up. He would probably be, you know, take the place of someone and he would have more opportunity. So that's why, look, one thing I know, Whitey, is this. People are talking about Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Kyle Kuzma, Zach LaVine. Some of these names that, are, you know, John Collins is one of those guys. I've heard Lauri Markkanen been thrown out. I mean, cats are pinning the tail on the donkey right now. We don't even know. We're just throwing out names. Most of those guys, you're going to have to give up somebody to get those people.
And a lot of money.
And a lot of paper.
You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Kuminga, bro, I'm not going to take a lot, Whitey. I mean,
mm-hmm.
throw it in the air. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know this, but it's possible that, you know, the ownership sees him as their last vestige of, we knew we were building our future building blocks and we still have him. It's possible they don't want to part with him. I don't know if that's true. But I'll tell you who... you know, Kuminga is one of the most interesting players on the Warriors. I'll tell you who I think the two most interesting players on the Kings are. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying they're the best, but the two most interesting players, both of whom may hold keys to the Kings' short-term and long-term future when we come right back here. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Get back, right back to the phones in just a moment. It's Whitey, it's Jay today. Thank you for being with us. Hopefully, Drapes is back with us tomorrow. I'm going to give you the two most interesting players on the Kings roster right now in just a moment. I'm not saying they're the best. I just think in terms of what they could bring the Kings and what that could mean for their futures, for the Kings' future, two fascinating players. But first, Willie has been hanging on. Let's go to Willie here. You're on with the Drive Guys. Willie, what's up?
Yeah, Whitey, y'all kept me on a long time, man. I appreciate that. Jay, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Jay, calling him out, Will? My goodness, man.
We don't have to put you on all, Will, you know.
No. You, Jay, I like you, man, because you don't sugarcoat nothing. You don't make excuses. And you're logical. And you speak the truth. Here's the thing. Everybody know the Warriors should have kept Jordan Poole. I mean, Draymond is a nut. We've been knowing that for 6-7 years. Draymond is crazy. He's crazy. He's got a screw loose. Okay? Now, they lost the game last night by 3, right?
Yep.
We lost by what? 21?
Yeah. Yes.
Something like that, right?
You're exactly right.
Why are we sitting all day worrying about the Warriors? They lost that game by 3 points, okay? I mean, we are the one, and then plus the Los Angeles, the Clippers played back to back just like we did.
Yes,
they were back to back just like we did. We need to put it all out there and tell the truth. We have guys who just can't defend athletic players. They can't do it. I mean, Herter and HB used to could do it, but he's long on the teeth now. His athleticism, you can see him, man. His athleticism is really, really, really going down now, man. He can't do the things he used to do. Every now and then he have a good game. But how you going to win a game when you got both of your small forwards? You got Herter, your shooting guard, and your small forward. They combined for 5 points. They combined for 5 points last night. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then let me finish this up. They got to use Kessler Edwards. He's 6'6", 6'8", on some of those athletic guys. I mean, you see guys not playing any defense, and he still sits on the bench the whole doggone game. Why is he on the team? And then you got the only physical guy on that team is Trey Lyles. I mean, I'm not saying you gotta be dirty like Draymond, but you gotta foul somebody hard sometimes. If you're getting blown out by 20, and you ain't showing you're not showing you pissed off and you're angry and you want to make any game, man, you can't just let people be making layups on you all day. I mean, the Clippers made a lot of layups, man. I mean, it was pathetic, man. It was sad.
Gotcha, Willie. Thank you. I think the key to me, the thing that really resonated from what Willie said was, yeah, it gets back to something Rick Adelman said years ago when he coached here. It's like, it's hard to have a really good defensive team if you don't have really good defensive players. You know? I mean, it's yeah, kind of simple. Sense. It's kind of where they are right now in a lot of ways. And Willie's right, and Mike Brown would probably be – Mike Brown was listening, probably nodding his head, because Mike Brown wants them to play physical defense, not just play defense, play physical defense. Last night, the Clippers, it's like they probably didn't even know the Kings were there.
Yeah, they worked them, boys. I mean,
that's a good team, though.
It's the truth.
Said.
Yeah, the Clippers are turning the corner. They have turned the corner. And Ty Lue, I go back to Ty Lue. I mean, Kawhi said he's going to play every game this year. And I laughed, just as what you talked about. I was like, man, you ain't playing every single game this year.
Right.
He's played two back-to-backs now.
Yeah.
Two back-to-backs.
And it
he's played
like
every game.
It was Kawhi.
And not, right. It wasn't like he played and only put up 12 points. He played and balled out. Mm-hmm. So you got to show him his love, if nothing else. I'm not sure he still plays every single game this season. I have to, you know, see that to believe it. But when it comes to last night, the Kings and the Clippers, just what Willie said, and I think we said that a little earlier in the show, they just got slapped around. They got beat. You got to take the loss. You can't, you know, we could point to probably 16 different variations, and, you know, statisticians and analysts and you know, analytic people, they're going to come up with defense variations and per and plus or minus. No, quite frankly, you just got beat. Clippers were a better team last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even close. Like Willie said, you got jumped on by 21.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to accept it and move on. Hey, better luck next time. We'll talk to you come next tomorrow.
And it does seem, you and I discussed earlier, Jay, that Coach Brown, to an extent, he's still looking for answers from guys off the bench. He's looking for something that he's not quite finding night in, night out. So to Willie's point, the fact that Kessler Edwards last night, it was 8 minutes, it was garbage time, he shot the ball well. He had 7 points in 8 minutes on 3 shots. I'll bet you he's gonna, against the Thunder, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the game a little sooner. If he has earned a shot, remember Keon Ellis did mm-hmm. when he played well in Houston. If maybe Mike Brown's going to say, all right, well, you're going to get a shot to see if you can build on that.
Yeah, true. I mean, there's some guys, and I'm anxiously waiting to hear your two most important people on the Sacramento Kings, if that's what the proper verbiage I'm saying.
Most interesting.
Most important. Yeah. Okay, most interesting, not important, but most interesting people. And I don't think one of them is Kessler, but he is interesting in the fact of I would like to see – if there is something else there. Now, as Emil Fragoso, our 49ers insider, says behind me, one of the things he definitely said, and I absolutely believe.
He's at the Christmas party. Why isn't he at the Christmas
party? Well, it's over. It's over, Hova.
Well, it's 4:40. It's over.
Yeah,
Emil leaves a party, it's over.
Very true. The point of it is he's not a very good shooter.
Emil?
No, well, I don't know if Emil might got a jump shot. I don't know. I don't even know if he got the Penny Hardaway left or what. I don't know what he's providing. But the part of it is Kessler is not a great shooter, and inside the NBA right now, It pains me, but most people want you to shoot very well, right?
Yeah, you can't be a 3-and-D guy if you got no 3.
Yes, if you can't. but you can be a defender.
Right.
Like, what happened just to defenders?
Well, that's why he's on the team.
Yes.
You know, really why they got him and why he's still on the team. To me, the most interesting guys on the Kings right now are Davion and Sasha, because both of them still have potential to be something. I think both of them should be more than what they are. Sasha, I think it's a matter of adjusting to the new country. We know that his game should fit if he can figure things out defensively. Davion is a guy that's got some value, but right now it looks like he may not be a fit here. And I like Davion. And I thought this year he's going to make his threes. And he's a little bit, but he's been inconsistent. We know he can defend. So what do you do with him? Does that mean he's going to get another chance? Have you decided he's probably not going to get a good fit here? Those two guys to me are really interesting, because I think both of them could still have a lot to do with what the Kings end up doing this year, whether they're here or not.
I think you're spot on. Those two are very Davion is interesting in the fact of, I don't know what his role is on this team anymore. I know for a fact that his confidence is down.
Sure.
I know, and you can see it, and that's a coaching staff. That's an organization thing. And that's a personal thing. And that has to change. I don't know how it changes, but it's just one of those things that needs to change. No one could be great if your confidence isn't great.
Right.
There aren't many people who feel like, oh, I'm just average and
yeah.
are great.
Yeah. Right.
You have to believe you're great to be great for the mm-hmm. most part. And so that's a great one with Davion. Sasha, coming into the season, Whitey, I didn't really know what to expect from Sasha. I didn't know what they were going to do with Sasha. I haven't done much film work, so I didn't, really get to see Sasha that much until
nobody did,
lately.
Really.
Right.
We all saw a little bit.
Highlights, of course, right?
Yeah.
We've had people from Europe League, all the, Europe.net, EuropeHoop.net, all these different places come on and talk about Sasha, but I didn't know what he was going to bring. So, and I still don't know what he brings to the table. Beside that, he's got the flick of the wrist. Mm-hmm. He can shoot.
Well, like you were saying about Kessler Edwards, he can shoot. That's the thing. He can shoot. But he, this team, this is why in the summer I was saying, I would be open to moving him.
Sasha?
Yes, because this team needs better defense. And that's one thing that he really struggles with in Europe. And, if you struggle with it in Europe, and I guess, some people say, he was all right. He was passable. But we don't need more guys here who can't defend. That's all.
So then with the Davion situation, befuddles most people looking at the Kings, overall situation is he can play defense.
Right.
And they're kind of like, well, he's not going to be on the floor because he can't shoot, or mm-hmm. they don't believe he can shoot, or he can't shoot at a high clip, but he plays defense. And so the Davion thing is, I think, has a lot of people puzzled, because you don't really need him to shoot. You don't really need him to, shoot threes from a high clip. You don't need him to be 40% and over. You need the defense. And I think that's where you get a lot of Kings fans and a lot of listeners who jump on here at Sac Sports 1140. They question the situation. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said his confidence is down.
Yeah. It's too bad he's not 6'5", obviously. He's just a little smallish. There's a theory about him.
Plays great. Well, I don't know, Whitey.
I know, but
Davion balls out on defense.
I know, but when you're, 6'2"? When you're 6'2", there's nothing you can do about that.
Straight up.
There's an interesting theory about him, and Jerry may have mentioned this when Jerry was in last time. And this is just a theory. I don't know if the coaches or the team feels this way at all. Some people look at Davion because it's kind of a mystery, right? Mm. This guy was sought after. A lot of teams wanted him. He was a very successful college player and a national champion, and now he's not in the rotation. Some people think maybe this pace that Mike Brown wants the Kings to play at, maybe he's just not really comfortable at that pace. Not in the terms of he doesn't want to do it, but just maybe his game is a little more
half court.
So I don't know, but that's one thing people are wondering about, because it is, like I say, it's kind of a mystery.
But what are we really expecting? Like, this is the thing for me. He's not set up, and he shouldn't be asked to be Malik Monk. He's not set up, and he shouldn't be asked to be Sasha. He should be asked to play defense.
I know, a guy who can defend on this team, it should be,
easy work.
Yeah.
And if you give me 6-8, a game, I'm riding with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a backup point guard. And that, it begins, and Will made a good point. There's some people on this team who get a lot of run, and they're not producing. and you call it what you want. I'm not asking this dude to produce on the offensive side. I'm asking Davion to produce on the defensive side.
Yeah, but he's got to produce a little. I mean,
what's a little? That's what I, and that's the question I feel myself asking. What's a little? What are we asking? What's a little?
Yeah.
6 points? 10 points?
34%,
a couple assists?
34% like, looking from for? The threes.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was threatening that, and then he fell off again. He had a couple good games where it looked like, all right, he's got it. I know he's worked really hard on it. And then there's also the disruptor, as the G-Man calls him, Keon Ellis. They like what he gives them more than they like some of the things they get from Davion. Who saw that coming? I did not.
Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
He believed in it.
Yeah. When we come right back, since Emil's still around, yeah, we got to talk a little football. Tell you about CMC and how he's on the verge of a very, very rare feat. That's when we come right back here, The Drive, guys. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, Sacktown Sports. Today we're going to talk about Christian McCaffrey, and Jay pointed out to me, I didn't realize this, Christian McCaffrey on the verge of doing something very rare. By the way, Jay, I'm guessing you're not really a big candy guy. Do you like Kit Kats? Give me a
Kit Kats are all right. I can deal with it. I'm more of a sweet and sour man myself.
Okay, the reason I ask is because Kit Kats are really popular in Japan.
Okay.
Apparently, Kito Kato is Japanese for like good luck or something. So when the Kit Kat came out, and in Japanese, they would call it Kito Kato, and people were like, oh, it's like the good luck bar. This is great. So they're really popular, and they have a million flavors, and we brought some back, and we brought back some apple Kit Kats. And I was going to – I don't have them today.
Oh,
but
I'll try that, brother.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, they have sake.
Okay, you can keep that.
Green tea.
I'll try
keep that
it.
One.
Strawberry cheesecake.
I'm with all of that right there,
I'm
brother.
All that, yeah.
Sign me up on that.
Yeah. Wait, so I got to ask, because you were in Japan.
Emil Fragoso, yes.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Yeah.
I got to ask, though, because you were in Japan, and the Japanese are known for their commercials. What was the best commercial you saw on television? Did you see any at all that kind of stuck out?
I didn't watch a ton of TV. I did notice that Shohei and Ichiro are very popular in commercials, advertisements all over the place.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But I didn't catch a lot of that.
Because I know the candy commercials, especially, they get really animated and really into it. So
yeah, yeah.
Kito Kato, I didn't know that.
Kito Kato, and I think it means good luck. So the apple ones, I got to tell you, Jay, I think they're horrible.
What?
And I like
Are they the same color?
Yeah, it's
still
chocolate, but it's the apple flavor.
It's
and
infused.
I thought, this is going to be good.
Because
the strawberry ones are good and cherry, and it's like, I don't know.
What do you think? It's like a caramel apple? Like, what do you think it would taste like?
Just kind of a sweet. Yeah, I like apples. Kind of a little bit of a chocolatey, like a dipped apple, chocolate dipped apple. But it's, I don't know, something doesn't work. But I'd be interested to see what you think. So I'll bring those in. And for what it's worth,
pleasure.
Emil noticed I have the Okinawa Kings shirt on.
It's dope.
It's dope.
Yeah. And it says Beams on it. And I don't know why it says Beams. I don't know.
It's a Beam team worldwide,
I don't
baby.
Know. Maybe so.
You didn't
Maybe
ask?
So. No.
You're just wearing something you just don't know what it is, Whitey?
Well, it was
careful now.
What you represent?
It's a good question, but I had to pick and choose what I asked because I didn't always know what I was asking.
Okay,
I didn't always know what I was.
I respect that. I could dig that. I could dig that.
The language barrier got you sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it did. I want to thank Jay because he brought this up. Emil, our 49er insider, and he's getting ready for Return of the Empire. He didn't know this, Jay.
I did not.
Jay pointed out that Christian McCaffrey is on the verge of becoming just the fourth guy, and it's only happened five times, I guess, but the fourth guy to lead the league in rushing every week, all the way through the season.
That's incredible.
From week one all the way
through. Because he's had a couple down weeks, less than 100 yards. I'd say down less than 100 yards rushing per week.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
But
that
he got off such a great start that,
So every
at the end of every week, the leading rusher has been Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, okay. I thought each week, like rushing yards, you meant that he had like more rushing yards than anyone every single week. Okay, so total. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Only three rushers have led the NFL in rushing every week since the merger in 1970. Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, and O.J. actually did it twice.
Wow.
So
O.J. was a special talent though, back in the day. He was.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a joke to be made there, but we just let
We're going to slide right through there. Yeah, let's not go there.
That's one of the things,
Keeping it PG.
I'm older than both of you. Jay and I are a little older than you, I think. But I like sometimes on YouTube, Jay, I like to go back and just look at you were talking yesterday, I think, about Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
You don't have those kind of rushers anymore in the NFL. And I understand that.
No one was Barry, though.
Some of those guys, you know, like Dickerson and yeah, OJ.
Yeah.
They're incredible. Well, and they all have different styles.
Yes.
Well, Bo was my guy. Bo Jackson was my guy. One of the greatest running backs I've ever seen, absolutely, even in highlight. Like, if not for that hip injury, I think he'd go down as one of the all-time greats, like not even underrated. Like,
he already is.
Well, yeah. I think he had the numbers, right, though. Yeah. He had the numbers to back him up more so.
Yeah. And he's a good outfielder, too.
Yes, he was.
Multi-sport athlete like Dion.
Uh-huh. Emil, what did you think of what Cam Newton had to say about Brock Purdy? This is from, well, Cam was on a podcast today.
It's on his own.
On his own.
Yeah. He does 4th and 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
His podcast is 4th and 1.
All right. Here's Cam talking about Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and really, Dak Prescott. These are game managers. They're not difference makers.
When you say game manager, I'm not asking you to go out and win the game. I'm just asking you not to lose.
Not to lose the game. Exactly.
Hmm. What do you think, Emil? Cam should know better. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not going to do that. Look, Cam Newton was a special talent.
Yes.
That 2015 Panthers season when he took him to the Super Bowl with Ted Ginn Jr. as his number one receiver, yeah, and Devin Funchess,
uh-huh,
who,
oof,
you know, respectfully,
Michigan,
not the best wide receivers in the last 10 years. Still, Cam Newton was a generational talent, one of the best athletes I've ever seen at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Cam also forgets that the last 2 years with the Patriots, he could barely throw 5 yards down the field. So, Cam, it feels respectfully like a little bit like a cry for help. Like, you still want to be relevant. And all love to you, Cam Newton. You were a very, very talented player. But Brock Purdy is much more than the game manager. That throw that he made to Brandon Ayuk deep downfield where he had to scramble out, go to his left, and then just chuck the thing. He threw that ball so Brandon could get open.
Yeah, just tying it all back together. Christian McCaffrey this year,
mm-hmm,
his receiving numbers are actually down. And
for him.
Yeah, yeah, from what they were last year.
Yes.
They're still, I think he's still leading the league, but they're down from what they were. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked Matt Barrows that. Matt Barrows said one of the reasons is because Brock Purdy doesn't throw it to the running back. He takes shots downfield because he sees the
number one explosive pass rate this season, Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
All the people who say he can't throw downfield. Just saying.
Where are you on all that, Jay?
Man, love Cam. Appreciate what he's brought to the game. As you just said, Emil, Cam was super special in the seasons that he was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last couple years he hasn't been. You know, his completion percentage is 60% and under throughout his career, you know, should tell you that there were some things that he was lacked and deficient. The fact of the matter is, I get what he's trying to say with like Tua. He's calling them system quarterbacks, game managers. But as you said, Emil, and you, Whitey, Purdy's not that yet. You know, he hasn't shown and proved to be that. Of course, he had to come in the season, you know, the last 6 games, I believe. It was the last 6 games, right, last year?
Yes.
He's basically played one full season.
Right.
Correct.
Exactly. He had to come in and be a game manager. That's what they asked him to be.
Correct.
Right? Like, please come in and be a game manager.
Do not lose us the game.
Don't lose the game. Now he's being asked to do way more than that.
Yes.
You know? And it's not, don't lose us this game. It's like, we need you to be a part of this to win the game.
And the play calling is reflecting that.
Absolutely. You're spot on. And so I think Brock doesn't fall into that. I would also say Dak doesn't fall into that. I think Dak has way too much on his shoulders to be a game manager. Mm-hmm. Now, Tua, I'll take the argument. I think he falls as a system quarterback.
Yeah.
And the other one was, what did he say? I forgot. Oh, Jared Goff. Yeah.
Goff, I get to.
Yeah, I get it. But, you know, that's a different ball game up there in Detroit. They put their hands on that offense anyway, of kind of more game management anyway.
They have so many explosive players in
Detroit, they do.
Especially.
Yeah. Purdy's just, you know, the one thing about all this, fellas, for me, with Purdy, it's like the Draymond, kind of. And this is why I think Draymond gets a lot of hate, too.
What?
Yeah, right, exactly. He's causing on himself. But it's tough when so many people miss on Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's almost kind of like you got to create a narrative of why we didn't take Brock Purdy.
Yeah, right. Man.
And the 49ers, you know, they're culprits of that as well. They passed on it, you know, whatever.
How many times?
And the easiest explanation to your point, obviously, is he's not that good.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? No one expected this. No one saw this. He's not that good. He's a game manager. We have to put Debo and everybody else. What you got, Emil?
And Frankie, let me flip that. Brock Purdy is so damn good this season, especially, that the narrative has changed on what it takes to win the MVP.
He
has to have a bad coach. He can only have one weapon. He can only have this. He can only have that. He's been so good this year for the Niners that the narrative has changed on what the criteria is to win an MVP.
Yeah, that was a great point. One mistake you made, you called him Frankie. But other than that, it was a great...
Oh, did I?
I thought he said, frankly, let me... I thought that's what you said.
Yeah. I said, okay. Frankly.
That's on me then.
Yeah. I thought I was tripping for a second.
All right, NFL, you overseeing the Brock Purdy greatness from a meal right there, brother.
I've been on the Brock Purdy greatness, though, since the preseason against Green Bay. When I've talked to Fred Warner, he said, I'm a Brock Purdy guy. Uh-huh. I kind of knew right then and there that he was one of those guys they really, really loved. And while he was at, literally, when he went into that Dolphins game, he had not played with the first team since training camp. And he still executed and still won that game for them, helped them win that game.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Jay to help us with something. Jay, you know, it's that time of year, end of the year. We're talking about the biggest sports stories of the year. I want to see if we and Emil and listeners will come up with candidates for the sports story of the year. All right? Oh, hold on. We have breaking news here. Pardon me. Source, this is from...
Woj. Yeah. Yes. Woj.
Draymond Green. Go ahead.
Draymond Green has been suspended indefinitely by the NBA.
Wow.
Draymond Green suspended indefinitely by the NBA. We just found out.
Just breaking news.
Wow. So we'll come back and tell you what that means and where the Warriors go from here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.